Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Coach Speak. I'm Matt Seidel, along with fellow hosts Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Hello, everybody. It's Easter Sunday, 2021, and we are back on the pod, not only to recap the area's regional championship games from last week, but also to make some predictions on this week's quarterfinal games and beyond. Derek, my calculations tell me your spring break at Napoleon is over. You ready to go back to work?
I've been enjoying this, just being able to relax and, watch sports all week, watching the start of baseball season. You got the NCAA tournament, you got MHSAA tournament. Like, I've been enjoying this, so I'm not ready to go back to school, that's for sure. Yeah. But it'll be good for me to get back in the flow of things again.
No doubt. Josh, you're in the same boat, right? You guys go back this week?
Yeah, we go back tomorrow. I'm ready to go back. I mean, I've enjoyed it, but I'm ready to go back. I like structure and a routine and all those things. But, it's been great. The NCAA tournament's been incredible. and then I'm loving this live streaming high school basketball games. I mean, usually I'd go to a game. Now I'm sitting at home watching two or three games at a time, so it's great.
That is pretty cool. And, and while you mentioned it, you normally this time of year would be at the Final Four.
First Final Four we've missed in 5 years. Yeah.
However, since we're on it, man, let's just go right there. That may have been the best college basketball game or basketball game period that I've ever seen last night, UCLA and Gonzaga. And I really wasn't that into it, even though I have Gonzaga in both of my brackets. At any time, I think, had Gonzaga got up 10, I would have turned it off and gone and watched Last Chance U, the basketball part, on Netflix. But I watched every minute of that game. It was just an amazing game.
Yeah, I checked it out as well. I was driving during a lot of the first half, but once I got home, I was locked into it. And it was a high-level basketball game. I think that, there was a lot of talk like, oh, this is just going to be a blowout. But like, I think we were talking the other day, it's like everyone felt they were going to blow out UCLA. That's how Alabama felt. That's how Michigan felt. Heck, I mean, Michigan State was blowing them out in the first half of the first four game. So I had a weird feeling it was going to be a close game, and boy, was it close. And I mean, the shot making at the end, just the big plays on both sides. It was a really, really good game to watch.
Yeah. I mean, great basketball game, as well played as it gets. I wouldn't argue that it's one of the best games we've ever seen. I would, recent memory serves me, I would take the Villanova North Carolina game over that from maybe, I don't know what that was, 5 years ago or so. But no, definitely one of the top, I'd say three to five college basketball games I've ever watched. Kentucky Duke comes to mind with the Leitner shot, a couple of those type of games. But yeah, great basketball game. Contrast in styles, but bottom line, both teams were incredibly efficient offensively. And it's not like the teams weren't playing good defense. These guys were just making great shots. It's that old saying, good defense, better offense,
I think something that really stands out from this too, and I'm kind of relating it back to the high school stuff, is just, I mean, I don't mean to keep, beating on this point, but like, think about how much better a shot clock makes late game situations. Like, just because, like, the way that the game is able to still flow all the way until the end, just it allows for that kind of thing to happen. You watch these district or these regional games last week, you got close games coming down to the end, and you got, they're pulling the ball out with 3.5 minutes left. And I'm not blaming anybody, I would do it too, but it shouldn't even be on the table, because we should have a shot clock and, you allow the end of the game to still be played like the rest of the game is played, just like it is in college and like it is in the NBA. And just, I don't mean to go there, but it's definitely something that came to mind watching some of the high school games and then watching that game. It's like, my goodness, we need the shot clock in high school.
Yeah. And it's absolutely. It's bad for our sport. And I'll tell you what, it would really help the girls game. The high school girls game, even more than the boys, is it would make them speed up and it would become better, quicker, as I'd like to say. And I think that, I think you see that right now. It's halftime of a phenomenal women's national final, and I've enjoyed watching that just as much as the men's. I have a new favorite coach in America, and it's the Arizona women's coach. She's amazing. I love her passion. I love her fire. You got two great Pac-10 or Pac-12 teams in the final right now, and it's halftime of a very good game. But no, the shot clock's going to improve basketball all the way around. Yeah, I mean, we don't ever need to drop that conversation. We can continue to bring it up more and more. And the proponents of it, you know, they're the people that are against it, I should say, are, you know, their biggest complaint is, well, you know, it's hard to find volunteers to work games. You know what? We'll find some, because parents will do things for their kids to play, or we'll hire somebody. It's amazing the things we're able to do. But right away, that's the naysayers. Well, we can't get volunteers to do it. It'll never work. And we can't afford the clocks. You know, I don't buy that. But, you know, they're doing it in AAU terms as well.
Right. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. So I'm with you. I'm with you boys on that one. So. Hey, turning our attention to the the high school games. Let's start with the boys. This was not an exciting game, so much so that it was probably my third game I had going on my screens. This would have been Thursday. I was tuned into a couple other closer games, but Ann Arbor Huron in just machine like fashion. They defeat Livonia Stevenson 64-39 to win a regional championship and set themselves up for a big quarterfinal game on the 84-foot court at Lincoln Tuesday against Mighty River Rouge. But another strong effort, man. They jumped out 19-3. I think they led – I thought I read somewhere they led by 36 at one point in the second half. Just a dismantling of Stevenson, which I think most people expected. Tyson Edmondson keeps shooting it. He had 19. Julian Lewis, Womack, they rolled again with 15 and 13. I mean, they're looking good, although they do have a tough one. They're all tough now, but Tuesday is going to be a challenge for the fellas.
Yeah, they continue to just be impressive with the way they make shots. Like, you know, they're just hitting threes from all five spots. You know, I think even Rawls was hitting them. I know you had texted that in our group chat. He had even was knocking them in. Yeah. It's like when they're all hitting shots, it's like, you know, good luck, because you know they're gonna D up, especially with this group. It seems like, again, obviously these regional games, I was able to watch them a little more, and they're you know, it's not the old 2-2-1 press either. It's they're digging in and guarding you man to man and just making your life miserable.
Yeah, Huron looks like they're on a mission. No question. I mean, I watched the first half of the Dexter game on, I think it was Tuesday, and then the first quarter of the Stevenson game, and it lost my attention because they were beating them so bad. I left, but they clearly look like they're on a mission. As Matt said, though, at this point, there's no easy ones. I mean, they got a tough Rouge team waiting, and I think they'll see an incredibly well-coached Warren De La Salle team in the semis, and then you're looking at probably an Orchard Lake or a Grand Blanc on the other side. So, yeah, I mean, there's no easy ones left, but Huron definitely looks like they're on a mission. I love that they're playing man-to-man. You know, I didn't follow Huron at all last year. Maybe they made that move then, but I love the way they're guarding right now.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Samaha, he mentioned that they had kind of evolved into more of a traditional man-to-man team opposed to the system of play that he had just a few years ago. They used to beat up on Derek and his fellas for a couple of years. Of course, the one time they did play a man, I think he beat him at the varsity level, so maybe that was why. But, yeah, we'll talk more about the Huron-Rouge game when we do our predictions later. The other two games, I guess, of local interest, first of all, Arbor Prep. Winning it a first regional title in school history. They beat Adrian Madison 42-32. It wasn't easy. They did get control of the game, and then just kind of, I think Madison made a couple runs at them. I was unable to watch that one in a stream. I don't know if I couldn't find it or I was looking. I think they had it under the wrong name, is what I heard later. But this Malcolm Clements, who scored 16 points. Josh, you coach against this kid. I mean, he's up there every game. He just seems to be kind of the glue for these guys. And he's in double figures, and he appears to be a hard guy for opposing teams to stop.
Yeah, I mean, they're well coached. They're going to grind with you. They remind me of the Detroit team we played in the semifinals in 2014, where they'll happily win 39-29. They're good with that. They'll hold the ball. they'll take them, run and flex. But yet they can run and jump you and turn it into a
– Yeah.
They get down, they have the ability to speed you up. But they would rather just grind it out and play a slow game. You know, and I know the other side of that regional, or the other regional winner who they'll face in the quarters, is the same way. I mean, you talk about a game that needed a shot clock, the Hanover Horton Leslie game. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that final could be 29-28. I mean, and it's sad because they're two great teams. two Hall of Fame coaches, yet really bad pace of basketball. You know,
did you just put Matt Johnson?
The no, I, Chad Mortimer in, or I not Matt Johnson would be in the under.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hanover.
Oh, no, that was a rough game too, pace wise. But I'm talking about the prep Hanover game in the quarters. I mean, yeah. If there was ever a game that's going to need a shot clock, oh my goodness! I mean, no.
I got you. My bad. I thought you jumped.
No, I don't even know if Matt Johns makes the Jackson Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Matt Johns is the best coach in our conference. He's definitely one of the area's best coaches. But I wanted to. It's an opportunity to bust his chops a little bit. So, let's jump to that game. Hanover Horton beat Leslie 50-45 in an outstanding regional final. Hanover now plays Arbor Prep. I know Derek knows Hanover real well. I know Leslie real well since they were in our conference. This game was tied 30-30 at halftime. But with 3 minutes left, it was 41-34, which means it had been 11-4.
Yeah, that's
cool. You know, Leslie finished with 45 points, which is 15 points in the second half. And their last two possessions were meaningless threes to get them from 9 points to 15. And just kind of – it was one of the more bizarre – things. I think we all know it wasn't covered really in the articles that were written about it, but Hanover shifting to a zone defense early in the second half was without question the difference in this game. Derek, had you seen that zone much in your scouting of them or even against you this year?
They were using it a decent amount earlier in the year, but it was usually an ATO defense. They had not gone to it for long stretches. They only use it against us for maybe one or two possessions in our two games. More recent games, again, once we played them the second time, I really wasn't watching their games as closely, especially since they were beating teams pretty bad. So maybe they had been using it some then, but yeah, that was a little out of character. I mean, the way they run that, it's kind of like they show like a 1-3-1 and then it's like a 2-3 matchup of sorts. It's kind of a sticky little zone. It's funny, mm-hmm. like when they ran it earlier in the year, I think it was like Vandercook. They ran it for a little while against them in the game I was scouting, and Vandercook actually scored a ton against it. Like I said, it really wasn't super successful. I think they turned us over like the one time they ran it against us, but like, you know, it's just kind of a mix up defense, but man, did it shut down Leslie. Cause I mean, they could not keep Leslie in front, which I was shocked by. I mean, I know Leslie's got good guards, but you know, just the watching Hanover this year and, you know, watching them like play Michigan Center, for example, who you know, we sure can't keep Michigan Center in front at all. And Hanover's able to get them under control. So I just assumed they would at least have Leslie, you know, slowed down. But boy, was Leslie able to get downhill. They chose to go zone. They had to go zone. And yeah. you gotta hand it to Chad for doing that and having it in, and they were able to go to it and you know, use that to win a regional game. And the weird thing about it, they usually don't like to play that slow of a pace, at least not this year they haven't. But once it got down late, it turned into a very slow pace game when they were in zone and they were taking their time on offense. And they couldn't score either, which they really didn't pull away because of that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, the one thing that Matt John's a great coach, but he deserves a lot of credit this year. His team went from a predominantly matchup zone team to an aggressive switching man-to-man team. And I thought their defense was excellent in this game as well. And I thought their spacing on offense is what gave Hanover Horton such problems. Mm-hmm. You know, they were able to get into gaps because they spread the floor so well on the offensive end. There was really no help, and they wouldn't come off shooters. Hanover Horton was really sticking to their guy and not helping at all on the drives. And I think gave them a lot of easy opportunities from what I saw in the first half.
Yeah, Hanover did look a little mortal at times. I mean, you know, Leslie turned them over a lot too. Yep. With that defense, even in the full court, which is they had Hanover kind of rattle a little bit, and no one's used to seeing that. Obviously, we joked last week they had won 18 district titles, Hanover, in 19 years. I also read, I think this was their 12th regional championship. I mean, you know, coaches get one or two of those in a career, they're happy. But when you get 12 of them, I mean, it's unheard of. Connor Mortimer, another outstanding game, 22 points. The coach's son, Carson Sanders, was steady with 18 points. Hanover's now 19-1, but they obviously might as well be unbeaten because they gave that one game away when they sent their JV team to East Jackson. But this does set up for an interesting regional final and a berth in the Final Four at stake when those two local teams kind of go at it. So looking forward to that one for sure. All right, jumping over to the girls' side of things, we had some outstanding basketball on Wednesday night of last week as well. Let's start with the Class A or Division One game. Wayne Memorial knocks off Saline 68-60. Just too much of LaShelle Austin, the EMU commit, a point guard for Wayne Memorial. I think she went for 27. Got a Miss Basketball finalist, Alana Mishaw. She goes for 25 points. By the way, she's going to Minnesota. Those two D1 kids on that Wayne Memorial team. Ella Stemmer finished her career with 21 points and 11 boards, and Sophie Cannon continued to shoot it and had 20 points. I mean, so the stars stepped up in that game for both teams, and it was a good game, but Wayne Memorial was kind of in control, kept looking like they were going to run away, and then Celine would show the guts and get back in. But outstanding season for the Hornets. You can't hold your head down for that one. They obviously played their hearts out in that game, but Wayne Memorial is a threat to win it all this year.
Yeah, that was definitely the second game for me. I was more focused on the Grass Lake Arbor Prep game that night, but I kept peeking over there, and you know, like you said, Celine wouldn't go away, and they even cut it to 3 points at one point there, and I was like, oh man, we might have a situation here. They're gonna pull this off on a little bit of a comeback, but oh my, like I didn't know that they were two D1 girls, but or where they were going. But my goodness, like when, especially once that game got cut to three, I think it was like three straight possessions where they just went right at Celine and were able to get buckets inside. And there's just nothing Celine could do. It didn't seem to slow those two girls down. But yeah, they were impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if they win it all.
I really thought the difference in that game was the first 4 minutes. I mean, I felt that Wayne really came out, punched him in the mouth early. And then, you know, like I said, I know that it went back and forth after that, but I really felt after those first 4 minutes, Celine really settled in and kind of held their own. It was a great basketball game. And like you said, Wayne has a great chance to win it all. Celine could have won it all. I mean, that was just a great basketball game with two really well-coached teams and a ton of talent on the floor. And Celine's going to be back. They got a lot coming back. I know they lose the All-Stater, Ellis Stemmer, but they still have a lot of really good players coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was watching these three games. I watched the Celine one. I watched the Grass Lake Arbor Prep, like Derek said. The other one I had queued in a little bit was the Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard Milan game. Gabriel Richard wins 45-35 to win a regional championship. I could not stop. I almost fell off the chair. You know, Tim Kaine is showing off like about a 16, 17 inch vertical a couple times in the fourth quarter. The old boy was pretty excited. They had a 14-4 run in the last 5 minutes to put that away. That game was tied with five to go. So they are on their way to a quarterfinal matchup with Parma Western in the house that Josh Trope took over at some point during his career. I think they play that in Chelsea. Monday night, tomorrow night. So you guys got to feel good for Coach Kaine and his girls.
Yeah, that is awesome for Coach Kaine. I'll be honest, I didn't watch much of this game because I had it on the Celine game, and you can't play two games at once on the NFHS network. But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's so awesome for Kaine to see him get a regional final. And hey, you know, you got a chance. I think they might be in a tough game with Parma Western, but when anything can happen, and you're in the Final Four, which would be awesome for him.
For sure.
Yeah, I did not watch any of that game because I had between Celine and Wayne and then Grass Lake and Arbor Prep. That's where I was focused. But great win for Tim. You know, what'd you guys think of – Matt, you watched a little bit of the game. What'd you think of the rubber floor? Maybe that was why he had such a high vertical there at Summit Academy.
it looks like a cool facility, like if you were running a camp or running like a shootout. But yeah, you can tell it's one of those tartan surface or whatever. And it looks like I said, it looks like they keep it up and stuff, but just an odd place to have a regional. I didn't pick Tim's brain. I didn't want to bother him too much. I sent him a congratulatory text and made fun of him a couple times. But yeah, I mean, he's getting, Izzy Lashaway and Lainey Garbars. I think they had 12 each for him. Those are girls that have been doing it all year. Mary Kate McCullough had 10 points, who I think she's starting for the injured Riley Garbars. So he's still not even at full strength, but that's just huge. Come over there in the second year, win a regional. They do have their hands full. Parma Western beat Lansing Catholic 55-52. We know Western can play. I mean, they were one of the teams that actually competed well with Grass Lake earlier this year. So we know they've got some players. They've got that unfinished business team motto going on. So they're focused. And one of these two teams is going to be going to the state final or state final four. So I'm excited to see how that goes. I think Tim's probably the underdog there, but I wouldn't put it past him, to be honest. So.
Well, in true Tim Kaine fashion, he's texting me this weekend. Even when things are going great, he's got to complain about something. I mean, Johnny down in the dumps wouldn't be himself without complaining about something. And he's texting me complaining that he can't practice on Good Friday and can't practice on Easter because, you know, of religious reasons. And I'm like, Tim, just enjoy the ride, man. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, what are you going to have, two-a-days on Easter here the day before quarters? But, yeah, Tim, and then he was complaining that he couldn't get in Chelsea's gym on Saturday. I'm like, unbelievable. But I'm happy for him. I will be there tomorrow night. I will be wearing my Notre Dame Fighting Irish gear supporting Ann Arbor Gate Richard and go Irish.
I can't believe they didn't let him practice tonight. That's ridiculous. But don't get me started about that. But the game that we all were probably most tuned into was the what some feel was maybe the class – C Division III, again, whatever you want to call it, state championship game, Grass Lake and Arbor Prep. And Grass Lake prevails 63-56 in a game that was closer than that. That was free throws at the end that got that lead up to 7. That was a heck of a game. Grass Lake actually had to come from behind in the fourth quarter, I think, to overcome a deficit that had been established. But what a game with some just super players. There's three – you know, stars on that Grass Lake team, and then some nice supporting players. Arbor Prep has two legitimate stars. I mean, they got Kate, we don't even talk about Caden Glenn on this show. She's going to Austin Peay from Arbor Prep. She had 14. Maya Petticord, 27 for Arbor Prep. But the Bargesser, Lutschka, Cabana trio put in, if you do the math, it's 59 of their 63 points. What a great high school girls basketball game. High school basketball game, period. Forget the gender. So,
yeah, it was a well-played game and a super high level. The end of the game was really weird, though. I don't know what was going on, but there was a ton of fouling when the game was already in hand. I think there was a technical foul. It was a really strange last 2 minutes to that game. The game was over, or maybe last minute, I should say, but the game was over, and it was like Grass Lake was using fouls, and I think there was a technical foul on Arbor Prep. It was because I was flipping back and forth at that point, but it was an odd end of that game, which is probably that was probably the de facto state championship game, like you're saying.
Yeah, my takeaway, this was actually the game where I was like, my goodness, do we need a shot clock? Because early in that fourth quarter, it was, I mean, oh my gosh, was it just like back and forth? Both teams were scoring. I mean, Maya Petticoat was just literally going and getting a basket every single possession, just going to the rim or hitting a pull-up jump shot. And every single time Grass Lake is answering on the other end, like, you got a great flow. It's, you know, both teams are scoring. And then again, like, I don't like Grass Lake got up, I think 4 or 5 with 3.5 minutes to go. And they start, you know, they like went into a delay. And I even thought maybe they had gone to the delay too early, but, you know, it ended up working out, you know, for him in the end. But again, like, the fact that they have to even do that, it's just like, we could have kept that flow going all the way to the end. Like, just think about how exciting of an ending it could have been instead of having, like you said, a really weird end there. Like, that was definitely a, you could use that one as a piece of evidence for why you need the shot clock for late game situations. But I mean, just like you said, really high level basketball.
The Petticord Bargesser thing, I was kind of just curious because, you know, two of the best juniors in the country, both with multiple Power Five offers already, even though they're only juniors. You know, Petticord was not guarding Bargesser, at least most of the time when I was watching. But Bargesser was guarding Petticord. Now, that also got Bargesser in foul trouble, which put her on the bench in the first half and allowed Arbor Prep to kind of establish that lead. Bargesser ended up getting 10 of her 22 in the fourth quarter. But I was kind of surprised. I mean, Bargesser's just she's really good. And I've heard about, you know, her quickness and her defense and all that. Petticord was getting whatever shot she wanted for a while against Bargesser. Now, that may have been because of the foul trouble. And, you know, you just don't want to take a bad foul. But it was just kind of an interesting matchup. Now, Bargesser got what she wanted, too. I mean, they're both outstanding. We're going to be watching these girls both play on television in just a couple of years. But that was just an interesting game within the game That was hard to ignore to see those two out there. But they will play. Grass Lake will play Brooklyn Columbia Central, who they've already beaten once this year. Another team from that vicinity. They're led by a post player named Zoe Bam, who had 18 and 10 in a 47-24 win over Leslie in their regional final. But those teams know each other. But again, Grass Lake, I don't know who's going to knock them off, but it's going to take a great effort and a great big upset for someone to beat them. That's just kind of the way I look at it right now. So speaking of that, we are going to jump into some predictions. We haven't done this since our football predictions in the fall, but we're going to predict the four games from the area, the quarterfinal games. There's two of them on the boys' side and two of them on the girls' side. And because we might all pick the same winner, we're actually going to pick the point spread as well, and we'll have to go back and compare our notes. So, Derek, we're going to let you go first with the Ann Arbor-Huron River Rouge game. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, definitely an interesting game. I mean, you got, obviously Huron has got a ton of depth across the board. Then Legend Jeter is obviously a stud. I definitely remember him from the games they had with Ipsy Lincoln when, they did a good job of shutting down Imani Bates the last two seasons early in the season. I know that there's weird stuff going on with the coaching situation at River Rouge, or there was a couple weeks ago. So, again, I haven't watched either of these teams play enough to really, really have an educated decision here. But I'm going Huron just because of their depth. And then, like I said, the coaching things makes it easy for me. I'll go Huron by 6.
Okay. Josh Trope, thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I like the River Rats in this one for sure. I like Huron 60-50, and I don't think it'll ever really be in doubt. I like Huron, and they're used to playing at Lincoln.
Yes, they are. I'm right in the middle of you two, and this is I've got Huron beating River Rouge by 8 points. I don't have an exact score, but I'm going to give them an 8-point edge. We can't just ignore LaMonta Stone, who was – won a state title back in the late 90s at Rouge, played there, got their program back on track. I coached against him a lot when I was at Willow Run in Ypsilanti. He came back 3 seasons ago. He was 51-7 on March 16th when the River Rouge superintendent, Derek Coleman, fired him. And because he wasn't, I guess, according to what Stone said in an article, that he wasn't meeting expectations of the program. It's pretty vague. He lost twice to Hamtramck this year, a pretty good Hamtramck team. Maybe that just can't happen at River Rouge. Something you just don't see in the high school level very often. You see guys let go because they do something crazy, but that's not what happened here. The team is now being coached by Todd Bergen, who was a former Pershing and Syracuse star back in the 90s. But this is just an odd thing. So, I need Huron to win this game. I don't understand what the heck happened there. Maybe someday we'll have a better understanding, but that's enough on that one, I guess. But that is bizarre world right there. So moving on, the other boys game we're going to talk about or predict, Hanover boys against Ipsy Arbor Prep. Josh, I'm going to let you go first with this one. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think this is going to be whoever has the ball last type game. I think that both teams are very well coached. Both teams can really guard, and both are very willing to be patient on offense. I like both coaches a lot. Both respect a ton of them, but I think Ipsy Arbor Prep gets Hanover Horton by 1. I think this is where Hanover Horton's schedule hurts them, playing in the Cascades and not having the opportunity to play non-league games. I don't think they've seen the athletes that Arbor Prep's going to roll out there. And I like Arbor Prep by 1 in a very low scoring game.
All right. Well, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to pick Hanover Horton in this game, and I'm not picking it as a close game. I think Hanover Horton was ripe for the upset in the regional final, and Leslie came close, but they didn't do it. I think Hanover is going to get it going in Hanover fashion again. And they're actually going to put it to Arbor Prep and expose when Arbor Prep gets behind and they start gambling. I think Hanover just going to build the lead like they do against a lot of teams. I got Hanover winning this game by 14 points.
Interesting. Derek. Interesting. This is a tough one. I, I think the beginning of this game is so important, because you know, I think like if Hanover can kind of get control early and get an early lead, then they can kind of keep the pace where they want it. And, you know, like you said, they're comfortable playing ahead. They have this ability when they start, they get going, like it seems like they never miss. Trust me, I can tell you from experience this year. But at the same time, if the game is close, then that second half, I mean, you could see both teams in the single digits if it's a close game at halftime, in my opinion, because they were both like slow the pace and you know do what they need to do. I'm actually going to go a close win for Hanover. I'm going to say it's a close game. You know, Mortimer was impressive with the zone adjustment last game. He might have to make another big adjustment in this one, but I'm going to say they win by 3.
Okay. Now for the two girls games we want to talk about, the quarterfinals. We have Parma Western against Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard. We talked a little bit about this. I will go first with this one. I love Coach Kane. I do not see them beating Parma Western. I actually think it's going to be a challenge just to stay competitive. I know they're going to be prepared. I think they'll hang around for a little while. But I think Western's slowly going to pull away and establish themselves. I've got Western winning this game by 12 points. Hillary Griffith, Lena Lewis. I just think they're too much really for Gabe Richard to handle.
I don't have a lot of information on this game because I haven't seen either team play, to be honest with you. But I'm not going to disrespect Coach Kane like you just did. Whatever he's going to do, whatever it takes, somehow they're going to pull it out. We'll say 1-point victory for Gabriel Richard. That's what I'm going with. And I hope Coach Kane doesn't let me down.
Well, and I'll up you one. I'm going 4-point victory for Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard, because I think they're going to have the lead late and Western will have to foul and Gabriel Richard to make their free throws and extend the lead. I like Gabriel Richard in a barn burner 35-31.
I can see the score being down there. For them to win, that's probably what it's going to have to be. So our final game for predictions today, we've got the Grass Lake girls against the Brooklyn Columbia Central girls. Derek, I'll let you go first here.
All right. So I know earlier in the year, Grass Lake won in this matchup by 17. I know Columbia Central has some good players, like you mentioned, in Zoe Bam. And I believe they have another girl who's committed to Clemson as well. I believe I saw that a couple weeks ago. So they're not lacking on talent at Columbia Central. I think it will be closer than it was earlier in the year. I think, you know, quarterfinal game, you know, things tend to tighten up a little bit. So I think that it won't be a 17-point victory for Grass Lake. I'll go with a 9-point win for the Warriors.
All right, Josh.
I like the Warriors big in this one. I'm friends with the Columbia Central girls coach. He does a great job, Coach Cole. But I just guard play this time of year, it wins games, and nobody has better guard play than Grass Lake. I'd actually say you can hand Grass Lake the state championship. They're going to beat Kent City in the state finals is what I believe. And Andrea Cabana and the Warriors are going to get the first state title for Grass Lake girls.
Okay. You got him winning big point total. Did you give us a total or no?
66-46.
By 20. Okay. I've got Grass Lake rolling in this one too. No disrespect to Brooklyn Columbia Central. I think their season comes to an end against the Warriors. I've got Coach Cabana and the girls winning by 16 points in this one. So I don't really have a lot. I think all four, in my personal opinion, all four of these games are not going to be real competitive, the ones we picked. I know you guys disagree on a couple of cases. So it will be fun Monday and Tuesday to see how that materializes. We know the girls play quarters Monday, semis Wednesday, and finals Friday. And boys, it's quarters Tuesday, semis Thursday, and finals Saturday. So it's a hectic week for the MHSA and high school basketball. So before we go, there's one other thing we talked about doing. Since we've had some opinions about this, at least in private, we are going to tell you right now who we think when the week's over, when Saturday night's over, we're going to tell you who we think is going to be cutting down the nets, figuratively speaking, because you're not supposed to cut down nets in high school basketball, but cutting down the nets, figuratively speaking, in Division I, Division II, Division III, and Division IV on the boys' side. Let's start with Division IV. Derek, I'll let you go first with that one.
So you know, I'm pulling up the bracket as we speak. I don't even know who's alive in this tournament.
I'll go first then. Detroit Douglas and Pierre Brooks is going to win it. Detroit Douglas and Pierre Brooks. They are going to cut the nets down, and I hope they do cut them down. I've never heard of a rule where you don't cut the nets down. Huh. But you know, the No Fun Club, the MHSAA, probably invented that rule.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with that. By my eyes, I'd say it's going to come down to the winner of the Southfield Christian Detroit Douglas game. I do, you know, Pierre Brooks is obviously a stud, but since he's going to MSU, I'm going to pick Southfield Christian to beat them and then to cut down or to not cut down the nets, but get another state title.
Okay. I'm going just because this team, every time I seem to back in the day turn on the Saturday morning state finals, or maybe I was even there sometimes, it seemed like they were always playing. I know that's not true, but it's Wyoming Triunity Christian. I just like their team name. They have a kid named Brady Titus. He's a junior. He's already scored 1,000 points. I've been reading about him a little bit. They have an enrollment, by the way, of 94 at Wyoming Triunity Christian. Their mascot is the Defenders. They're 12-2 right now.
That's a great mascot.
I like their side of the bracket, and then I could see them playing Douglas or Christian in the championship game and then maybe posting an upset. So I'm going to go with Wyoming Triunity Christian. Let's go to Division III. Derek, are you ready to go first on this one? Have you studied this at all? You got any insight for us?
Yes. It's just the D4 has slipped my mind. I got insight on the rest of this. D3, I think, is actually extremely interesting. I'm going to go Flint Beecher, and they've only got one loss on the year, and it was to Orchard Lake St. Mary's, who might be the best team in the state, regardless of class. So I'm going to take them to win it. And I'm going to take them over Iron Mountain, though, because Foster Wonders is the real deal from Iron Mountain. I know they have a big game with McBain in the quarterfinal, which is interesting.
Undefeated McBain, right, yeah.
Yeah, and Iron Mountain's also undefeated. So that's an interesting one. And Foster Wonders is averaging like 34 a game. He's a Mr. Basketball candidate. And I believe he was on that team that was in the – they got robbed a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He was like possibly the best player even that year as like a sophomore.
That was the PW game, right? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm gonna take Beecher over them in the final.
Josh, what do you think?
I'm going Grand Rapids Covenant Christian. I think that they are going to beat Schoolcraft handily. I think they're going to send Foster Wanders home early back to the UP, and then I think they will beat Beecher in the finals.
Wow. They are good. We have a league school, Lakewood, who played them, and we'll attest to that. I don't know if they're going to beat Schoolcraft soundly. Schoolcraft's a really good team, too. There's some good teams left in D3. I am going to go the safe bet with Beecher as well. This Keon Menefield, big-time scorer. I think he's averaging almost 30 points a game. But they got a guy named Carmelo Harris. Any team with a guy named Carmelo, you got to give him respect. He's the backcourt mate of Menefield. And I think those two guys together, unless one of them gets in foul trouble or gets nicked up, I think they're going to be a hard out. I'm pulling for our local teams, but I don't know that they can get by Beecher. So in the semis. Moving to Division II. Let me see. Maybe it's my turn to go first. I'll tell you what I think here. I was torn a little bit, but when I kind of just looked at the on paper and what teams had done, I think, again, probably going safe bet again, but I'm going to go with Grand Rapids Catholic Central, currently 17-0. They got a tough one with Benton Harbor, obviously, in the quarters. But this Jack Karasinski, a 6'7" junior, one of the best players in the state, and they've got some other. They got two or three other really good guys. They're going to play at the next level. I think they are the best team in D2.
I agree with you, Matt. I think Grand Rapids Catholic Central is the team to beat in Division II, no question about it. Tough game with Benton Harbor, but I like them. And I think the other side of the bracket's pretty weak. I don't see anybody from the other side threatening the winner of the Catholic Central-Benton Harbor game.
Okay. Derek.
I think you guys are probably right. You're probably right. But I'm going to go with Bridgeport because Bridgeport had a big – they were a big part of the Let Them Play rally.
Yes, they were.
I remember that. So okay. Just because of that, I'm going to give them some love. I'm going to pick them to win it. I don't know anything about them, but I think Grand Rapids Catholic Central is probably you know, or Benton Harbor are gonna be the other team in there. But I'm gonna say Bridgeport upsets them because they helped us get to this point by having a big role in that rally.
they brought a bus to that rally, man. They marched off in unison. Yeah, they looked good that day. I remember that. That was they got my adrenaline flowing. I was parked right next to their bus. I thought that was pretty cool. So. Finally, in Division One, where we have a local team here on, obviously, let's take a look at that one. Who do you guys have? Derek, Josh, let one of you guys go first.
I'll take Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Again, that's kind of the boring pick, but I'll take them actually over Huron. I'll say Huron gets there, but Orchard Lake St. Mary's gets them in the final. Just like when Huron made it last time, they made it all the way to the final and came up just short. I think that's going to happen again.
I like Grand Blanc upsetting Orchard Lake St. Mary's, leading to an Ann Arbor Huron state championship. And long overdue with the incredible talent they've had there. It'll be a great moment for Coach Samaha and his staff of 12. I mean, the state championship rings for that staff will run deep into a few thousand dollars. But long overdue, and I can't wait to see them celebrate here on Saturday.
I hope you're right, but if we're trying to compete here and predict, I'm going to go. My head tells me Orchard Lake St. Mary as well. Again, currently undefeated. This is Julian Roper. Every time I look him up, he's doing something. He's the one that's committed to Northwestern. They got the Kareem Rozier. He also was a key part. He spoke, I think, at the Let Them Play rally and did a great job for Orchard Lake St. Mary at that point. But he's a little 5'7 guy. But that's a tough out. And, you know, Warren De La Salle, part of me wants to pick them too. After, you know, I watched them a little bit when they played Dexter early in the year. And this, you know, Division One is Division One for a reason. It's like watching college basketball with some of these programs. So.
Orchard Lake St. Mary's, I saw the other day that, you know, they got a commitment from an eighth grader. You know, he's coming to Orchard Lake St. Mary's. He had a posting on Twitter. So, I mean, when you're getting, you know, you're getting public announcements from eighth graders that they're coming to your school, you're dealing a whole different playing field than other schools.
So that happens, just throw that out there. That happens at Chelsea occasionally. but we don't get it at Napoleon and Olivet very often. So, but we know what happens at Chelsea. So, my goodness, we won't go there right now. So, anyway, that was fun. I'd be interested to see how we do. We'll have to follow it this week. A lot of six straight days of basketball starting tomorrow, so it's going to be fun. But anyway, until next time, everyone, stay safe, mask up, and peace.